Continue reading in the New Testament from the Gospel according to John, John 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. May God bless the reading of his holy and infallible word to our hearts. Congregation, it's been quite a week in the week past, hasn't it? The Lord has taken two members from our midst. We faced death, not just in this past week. In the last 7 months, 11 people have been taken already from our midst. In this week, the Lord took from us Elmer Russ last Sunday. Even as we are gathered here for worship, this past week the Lord took Michael home to himself. We face death Perhaps in our extended families in this past year already. Perhaps amongst our friends. Amongst our co-workers. Amongst our platoon. In the hospital. Death is all around us. Why is there so much death? I think we all know the answer to that question, don't we? Death has entered into the world because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. But perhaps we ask the question, why then must believers die? If God has redeemed them from sin, from hell, and from death, why must they die? If Christ has fully paid the penalty for sin and fully redeemed them, why must believers still die? Believers must die because death in the hand of God the Father is a chastisement for the good of the believer's soul. If we did not face death, we would not be watchful against sin. We'd not be so quick to put sin to death. In the hand of the Father, death for believers makes us more spiritually minded. Death in the hand of the Father is a powerful means of sanctification for the soul. Death makes us contemplate on this life and the passing away of this life, and it makes us think of the life to come. Death has a way of bringing our life into compass in short order. Causes us to reflect on the brevity of life and eternity to come. But death, in the hand of the Father, is merely crossing the boundary line between this world and the next. Death is that which ushers believers over from this life, which is a continual death into eternal life. Death in the hand of the Father is a victory over the last enemy that we face in this world if we're believers this morning. Death is a gate or a door through which our Lord has entered to prepare the way, and through which we who are believers must follow through. It's a pattern, if you will. And so death is inevitable for believers. In our text this morning, we get an even clearer picture as to why believers must die. This picture is full of comfort. It's full of comfort as a believer faces death. It's full of comfort as we mourn the loss of our loved ones who have gone before us, who have died in the Lord. Those who have died safe in the arms of Jesus. Our text this morning reveals the loving heart of Jesus Christ. For those who are mourning, he offers hope and comfort this morning. We need to think of death this way. The death of a believer is actually a fulfillment of this very prayer that Christ prays for his people. And so to answer this question more fully, why must the believer die? We turn to our text this morning, John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Why must a believer die? The first answer is to finish Christ's work. In order to understand that, we need to understand the context in which this verse is found. Jesus is praying here. He's interceding. Children, what does that mean? What does it mean to intercede for someone? It means that you pray on behalf of someone else. At bedtime, maybe you pray for your mom or dad or your brothers or your sisters. You're praying for them. You're interceding for them. But intercession also includes this idea of placing ourselves in the place of another person. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing here too. He's placing himself in the place of all his people, and he's praying not only on their behalf, but he's praying for them. He's putting himself in their place before his Father in heaven. He's praying for his disciples as they're gathered around him in these last moments of his life. But he's praying for all those who will come after him. For all those whom the Father has given him. He prays what is known as the high priestly prayer. Jesus is praying this prayer before he goes to the cross. Before he goes to his own death, he's praying for his belief, for his people, for his children who will face death as well. He's focused on his Father's glory as he prays. But he's also focused on the comfort of believers as he prays this beautiful prayer. And so we can glean much comfort from it this morning. That Christ continues to intercede, that the content of this prayer is as true today as it was when Jesus breathed these words to heaven. I can't think of a more beautiful picture of the heart of Christ as he walked in this earthly life than this prayer. If you just sit and read and meditate on these verses and soak it in, revel in the heart of love that pulsates for his people in every verse. Verse 24, in some ways, is the climax of this prayer. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Jesus is going to the cross to face his own death shortly, but who is he focused on as he faces death? Notice what he says, the ones whom thou hast given me. His focus is on his loved ones. That phrase comes first in the original language. Father, those whom thou hast given me. He prays for those whom the Father has given to him in eternity. He prays not only for them now, as he prays this prayer, but he prays for their future. He prays for the death that his people must overcome. Embedded in this prayer is the understanding that his people must pass through death in order to be with him where he is. And so this prayer is the believer's security. It's your security, child of God, as you face death. As you've witnessed others pass through death, those who love the Lord and were loved by him. Jesus is praying that the gift that his Father has given him would come to full fruition. He has come to redeem those whom the Father has given to him and take them to himself. In principle, he already had this gift from eternity. The covenant of redemption, the council of peace, the Father and the Son, they covenanted together. The Father gave his Son this precious gift of his people. And yet throughout time, the Lord Jesus is at work to redeem his people one by one, to complete the gift that his Father has given him. He's in heaven now completing that gift, bringing it to full completion and consummation and fruition. Slowly but surely he draws with his redeeming love. He draws not just through life, but through death. He draws his people gifted to him by the Father. He not only draws them through death, he walks with them through death. This is what the psalmist experienced in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What a comfort that is, family. The Lord Jesus was with Michael through that valley. Death is not simply a passage into nothingness. It's not simply annihilation where an individual dies and returns to nothing, as if that's the end of human existence. No, based on Jesus' prayer this morning, we learn that when a loved one dies in the Lord, and if we die in the Lord, it's a completion of the work of Christ, his gift is being formed and being brought to consummation. As they cross the threshold from this life into eternity, he's saying, there is another one who has been given to me of the Father, whom I am bringing home in my sovereign power and love. That's how we must think of the death of believers. They're taken sovereignly by our Lord because he's completing the number of his people in glory. The ones whom the Father has given to Jesus are the special objects of his affection. The number is complete from eternity, and yet he's bringing them to himself one by one, completing his work in believers. Death is still the obstacle that must be overcome in order for Christ's work to be consummated. But he sees the gift of his Father. He says, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He takes one here and he takes one there. He takes Michael. He takes others. Taken up into glory when a believer has finished his course. Bringing to full fruition the number of the company of the redeemed. We might look at death now and say it's something that I just can't overcome. If you're a believer this morning, you have this hope of eternal life. You are the gift of Christ. He will bring you through death. But death is necessary to go through in order to get beyond this life. And so believers must die to complete the work of Christ. Not by adding to his finished work on the cross, but by coming into full and perfect union with Christ as he brings his people, as he completes this gift given to him by the Father. But believers must also die to fulfill Christ's longing. Our text this morning breathes of the love of Christ, of his desire to be with his people. Even as they must cross the Jordan of death, He says, I will that they also be with Me where I am. For those who are believers this morning, you must die. But not in the sense of paying the penalty for sin. Christ has done that completely. But you must die in order to cross that threshold, as we've seen. To fulfill the desire and the longing of Christ, I will. There are three things to notice about His I will. The first thing to notice is His desire or His delight in His people. To be with Him where He is. Notice how He prays here, I will. The next chapter He'd be praying, not My will, but Thine be done. You see how Christ is for His people even in death. I will. But when it came to Himself, He said, not My will, but Thine be done. And so He says, this is My desire, that My loved ones whom Thou hast given Me would be with Me where I am. It's His desire, it's His delight to have His people close to Him, just like we delight to have our children close to us in the family home. So Christ delights to have His children near to Him. That's why believers must die. That's why our loved ones have had to die, those who died in the Lord, to fulfill the delight of Jesus. Yes, they're taken from us. They leave a huge hole in our lives. We mourn their loss, and rightly so. But think of it this way. The Savior delights to take His children to Himself. I will. I will that those whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am. When a believer crosses that threshold, the Lord is delighted to see them coming into those gates, into His presence, into the fullness of joy and communion with Him. There is delight. There's also determination, isn't there? Jesus is determined that His people will be with Him where He is. The I will of Christ here is not simply the I will of a man. It is contingent upon the will of God. His I will here is of the second person of the Trinity. His I will is the same as the Father's. There's not a hint of discord between this I will and the I will of the Father. Father and the Son are one. Jesus speaks this I will as the Son of God. Not even death can withhold His determined desire from being fulfilled, to have His people be with Him where He is. When we face death, when we mourn the loss of loved ones who have died in the Lord, we can be assured that this prayer is for us, even as we face death for ourselves. Jesus is determined to carry us from this life into another far more glorious than this one. He is determined to carry His people across the Jordan of death. Death could not hold Him. And so as we follow Him through death, death cannot and it will not hold us. He will fulfill His desire. I will that those whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am. The third part of this desire, of this longing, is deliberation. Jesus doesn't pray this prayer on a whim. as if he suddenly faces the cross and all of a sudden remembers his people. He's deliberated about this in eternity with his Father. He will take these people whom the Father has given him, and he will bring them all the way home. Here again, we have a glimpse of that relationship with his Father and the unity of their will. This was the plan from eternity, I will. Yes, God's people must die. We'll hear about that tonight. We all must die, in fact. It is appointed unto man once to die. But if you're a believer this morning, it is Christ's great desire that you pass through death in order to fulfill his longing. His longing to have you with him. That gives a whole new perspective on life, doesn't it? It gives a whole new perspective on death. That Christ had this design from eternity, and he's all about fulfilling that longing even now as he takes loved ones from our midst, as he carries them home. Believers must die to fulfill Christ's longing. I will. Let those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And thirdly, believers must die to enjoy Christ's communion. It's part of his prayer here, isn't it? And children, perhaps you remember the stories of Enoch and Elijah. They didn't die, did they? They were taken up into heaven. They were what we call translated. So they went immediately from earth to heaven without dying. But the normal way for believers into Christ's presence and communion with him is through death. This is seen in Christ's own words as he prays, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. This is the great goal of a believer's death in God's purpose and on God's timetable to be with him where he is. And don't get me wrong, if you're a believer this morning, you are already with Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 5 and 6. Paul is writing there to the Ephesians, telling them that they were once dead in sins and trespasses. And in verse 6, he says, God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're already there, aren't you? Child of God. You are there, but not yet there, as it were. We already enjoy that communion here, already seated in heavenly places, and yet not fully enjoying that communion. Because it's constantly broken by sin. We're sitting there already, though we often don't realize it. And yet we must die to bring us there completely. Death is that threshold between the now and the not yet of being fully with Christ and where he is and enjoying his full fellowship and communion. He is with us unto the end of the age, and yet there is something more that Jesus speaks of here as he prays to his Father. He prays that believers will be with him where he is, and he is in heaven. In John 14, we read that he has prepared a place for those who are his. He is there now, and he says, I will come again and take you unto myself. Oftentimes people speak of being reunited with their loved ones or their friends in heaven. We will be united, but not in marriage or friendship as we knew it here. We will be united, but it will be around the throne of the Lamb and His glorious and awesome presence. That's where Christ wants us. That's where death will ultimately bring a believer into the glorious and sweet presence and communion of Christ. Yes, we must die. Perhaps even struggle with death. But death will break our connection with sin. It will sever the umbilical cord, as it were, of sin that continues to feed the lusts of our hearts. And death will cement our union and communion with Christ. No longer in this sin-cursed world. No longer battling against sin. Losing again and again. No longer experiencing broken communion. Sporadic communion. But death will usher us into eternal, unbroken communion with Christ. We'll be holy. Believer, death will bring you home, where you belong, where Christ will have you. Christ yearns for His people to be with Him, to enjoy that communion. I will that they be with Me where I am. It's like a family that's missing some members of the family for a reunion. Most of them are there, but there are still some on the way. Once there, the family will be complete, and so too with Christ. He's bringing all His children together through death to bring us where He is. We all face death. We've all tasted it in some measure in our families. But what comfort for believers when Christ speaks about where He is. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Believers must die. But they die in order to enjoy communion with Christ. To be in that place where He is. To be with Him where He is, the joy and bliss of heaven itself. I will that those whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am. Are you longing for that communion? Longing to be home. Are you homesick? Fourthly, believers must die in order to behold Christ's glory. Believers must die in order to behold the glory of Christ. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me. What does it mean to behold Christ's glory? One commentator says it this way. He says, the Son desires that all believers shall gaze forever on Him. That is, on the radiance of His divine attributes, as these are reflected in His exalted glory. human nature. The Son desires that all believers shall gaze forever on Him. That is, on the radiance of His divine attributes, as these are reflected in His exalted human nature. As He walked on earth, He reflected the glory of His Father, of His divinity. That glory was veiled in flesh, but now that glory is unveiled in heaven in Christ's exaltation. As He entered into glory, the divine attributes shine from Him of mercy and truth and love and justice and holiness. As you pass through death, believer, and as we think of our loved ones having passed through death and now standing in glory and seeing the divine attributes as they are summed up and taken together and held together in Christ, they see and behold His glory. The glory is obscured now because of sin. We do not see it as clearly as we ought to. Though we have His full revelation, we have enough to know. To see the glory of the only begotten. Paul says we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Believers must die so that sin will be put away and we can behold Christ's glory. His radiant glory is the light of heaven in Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb is the glory of heaven. His glory is His presence. Children, you recall the cloud of glory that came down on the tabernacle in the wilderness as Israel traveled through the wilderness. The cloud that led them forth, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The glory of God was hidden in that cloud. The glory of Jesus Christ was hidden in that cloud. But through death, Christ will no longer dwell among His people, shrouded in a cloud. His glory will be seen unmediated. It will be seen with the eye. What did Job say? In my flesh I shall see God. In the New Testament, the glory of Christ was veiled in His flesh, though more glory was seen there than in the Old Testament, as John says in John 1, we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No longer will Christ dwell with His people as the Word in flesh, though He is in flesh in heaven still. But that flesh will no longer hide His glory, but that flesh will reveal His glory to its fullest. We will see Him as glorious God and man in one. It's through death that we shall behold His glory. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. The glory of Christ which was given to Him from before the foundation of the world is a shared glory, as it were, with His Father. Which the Holy Spirit is always bringing into prominence. Always magnifying. Through His Word preached. The means of grace. But as a believer passes through death, and comes through on the other side, the glory of Christ will be all and in all. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3, where it will not only be magnified in Christ, but also in His people. Even as it begins in this life, Paul says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even is by the Spirit of the Lord. We look in the mirror now, we see the glory. We're being progressively changed from one level of glory to another through the process of being made holy, of sanctification. We do see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, but through death the weakness of the flesh will be done. The power of sin will be broken, the dullness of our minds will be sharpened and taken away. The mirror will give way to unmediated gazing on the glory of Jesus Christ. Are you longing for that day when you will see Him? But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We'll see Him in the glory of His person. We'll see Him in the glory of His plan of redemption as it unfolded from eternity past. Unfolded in all its rich colors of crimson. As we trace the line of His blood through history. We shall see the glory of His providence as it brought us through afflictions, through trials, over mountains and through valleys. Through death, we will see His glory. We will share in His glory. We will reflect that glory. O death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? Bring me to glory. Let me see Him whom my soul loveth. Believers must die to see Christ's glory. Believers must die to amplify the Father's love. Jesus grounds His entire prayer on this one phrase. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus prays, puts His request before the Father, I will. And then He says, do this because Thou hast loved me from before the foundation of the world. As if His own person is not enough for the Father, He marshals this one last reason and He says, Thou hast loved me from before the foundation of the world. Do this for me and for my people. I will that those whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. The glory which Thou hast given me. Jesus says, the Father has loved me before the foundation of the world. That love has continued unabated as Christ came in the flesh. That love continues in heaven now between the Father and the Son. Believers must pass through death in order to amplify the Father's love. The fulfillment of this prayer is a demonstration of the Father's love in bringing many sons to glory. This is the pattern of His only Son as He sent Him into this world to suffer and to die, to rise again and to come into glory. And we read that in Hebrews 2, verse 9 and 10. Tasted death for every man, that He might sanctify us. The Father's love is amplified in the fulfillment of this request. It's amplified in the gift that the Father gives to the Son. The Father loves His Son and has given Him His reward. All those whom Thou hast given me, already mine. We've come full circle, haven't we, back to the opening line of this verse. The Father's love is amplified in this gift. The Father's love will see to it that all those who are Christ will be with Him in glory. What a comfort that is this morning. Not one shall be left behind. Not one will be there who doesn't belong there. But all those whom the Father has given to me will be with me. It's the Father's love that is amplified in the death of a believer. Your family, you lost Michael. But the Father's hand was in it. Part of that gift given to the Son. We look back on our own life. The lives of our loved ones who've died in the Lord, and we say how deep the Father's love for us to make a wretch His treasure, to share in the glory of His Son. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Those whom He loves, He will bring home. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Death is frightful. Death can be a struggle. The Father's love is magnified in that He'll carry you through. As He carried His Son through. The Father's love is magnified not only in death, but in when a believer is ushered into the presence of Christ to behold His glory. His love is manifest when He takes a person from this earthly existence. That was evident in Michael's life so very clearly. It's evident in all the lives of the children of God who die. Oftentimes the earthly existence of believers is excruciatingly painful, full of suffering. You say, well, where is the Father's love in this? It's the Father's hand, isn't it? Whom the Father loves, He chastises. So to be remade and prepared for glory, and then He brings him through death. Brings him into glory, fully changed, seeing Jesus and being like Jesus. It's the Father's love that releases His children from suffering and into the glory of His Son to be free from suffering. He Himself shall wipe away their tears. The Lamb shall lead them. That's why the psalmist can say in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. The death of His people is stamped with the love of a heavenly Father as He takes them and gives them to the Son in fulfillment of this prayer. As they share in His glory, as they're transformed completely. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. At the end of the day, when we're in glory and we're looking back, we'll see, we'll say that the only reason we ever got there was because the Father loved the Son. If that love was not there between the Father and the Son, there would be no gift from the Father to the Son. There would be no glory for which we must pass through death. Father's love is magnified. That's why believers have to die. This morning, believer, Jesus has prayed for your final passage into glory. Yes, it comes through death. You must face it. It might be the last enemy that you face, and it will be. But death can be your greatest ally when you view it from Christ's perspective this morning. To finish His work, to fulfill His longing, to enjoy His communion, to behold His glory, to magnify His Father's love. Blessed are those. Blessed are the dead, which die in the Lord from henceforth. To the unbeliever this morning, I say this. How will you ever face death without Christ? The believer has everything when they have Christ. But you have nothing. Death will be cold and empty and hollow. Death will lead you, if you do not repent this morning, to everlasting punishment. I urge you to turn to that great high priest, Jesus Christ. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to Him. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Come. Come and see what Christ is in store for those who come to Him by faith. For those who come to Him as they are, full of sin, full of uncleanness, full of death. He can make alive. Maybe you face death all alone. You shudder at the prospect of it, knowing it's close, knowing that for 80-some years you have resisted Him. Here's a great and compassionate high priest who gives His blood to wash away from all sin. When you're united to Him by faith, all these things that you heard this morning will be yours. How can you face death without Christ? Amen. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt strengthen those who are mourning, that Thou wilt give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That those who know Thee would rejoice. Though that rejoicing is tempered with sorrow, they would rejoice. Thy superabounding grace towards them. That though death is painful, though death is fearsome, that it is through death that we will be with Thee. And Lord, we pray that Thou will be with those who do not know Thee, those who face death without any comfort whatsoever. Speak to their soul this morning. Show them, Lord, the emptiness of their lives without Christ. Without that inheritance which belongs to Thy children. So bless Thy word. Bless Thy word this afternoon and this evening. We pray bless Pastor Alsout as he preaches for us. Grant that the trumpet of warning would sound forth. Sinners would be convicted and saved through Thy word that has been preached in this day. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.